Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
And we ain't even told anybody what we're doing after the show.
I know.
Boy, D-Lo and KC, we doing some things.
Moves are being made.
I sure wish we could tell y'all, but man,
moves,
you know,
made out here, man.
Our company moves at a snail's pace. unless it pertains to Trista Crick. Pertains to Trista Crick. They get the job done. We said just a minute ago, Trista Crick joins us next. Chris Haynes like, oh, TK up here. Like we should have kept Chris here with Trista. We probably could have left and just let.
I would have just sit back and been watching.
Mm-hmm.
been watching the conversation.
TK, what's happening?
Love me some Chris Haynes.
Yeah, he's good people. Good people. That was a fun conversation, man. I had a ton of notes on different directions we could go. Men in wigs, not anywhere in my notes. We didn't actually touch on much.
Trista, should
of
I get
any
the I'd probably get a fade, you know, with the waves up top. Should I get that, you know, the man wig?
I think you should get the Jerome from Snowfall.
Oh, the Jerome. Full-on wig
with the Jerome. Kenny kind of looks like Jerome a little bit.
You know, I'm still in the first season of that. I did watch some of it while I was gone.
Okay.
But I was getting caught up on Power. Power was crazy.
Oh, Power!
I watched
nuts.
My movie. Yeah, Power.
Did you finish?
Crazy.
Did you finish? See the
yeah,
this? Oh
yeah.
Man,
Power! Crazy.
Lord, are you hey, a Power
they,
watcher?
They gonna keep Power going forever.
I'm like still catching up. I like watch maybe the first half of season one and I just like stop.
Oh, Power is fire!
But I'm convinced that show's going on forever now.
Yeah, it can. They're just gonna keep getting.
It's never gonna stop. It's gonna be the new Miami Vice now. The way they got
keep getting spin up Miami Vice.
Yeah,
you mean see? You mean they got multiple
CSI.
Miami Vices?
Well, no, Miami Vice. The original member is the brother in.
Yeah, that's Don Johnson.
Yeah, that's what Tyreek and Brayden gonna be.
No, but he's talking about he. I know what you're talking
I
about.
I guess on the other side,
like,
they wouldn't be.
It's
cops.
Gonna be like Law and Order, SVU, yeah. Law and Order, CSI,
yeah,
Law
it's,
and
it's
Order.
It's definitely
just regular.
Definitely on that path. 100%.
Yeah, they knew they needed to bring back some of the originals in this season. You get to the end of this season of Ghost, and it was like, oh boy, everybody's in this. Goodness
that's
gracious. Oh, that's such a great show. All right, let's get down to business. We haven't really talked about this. We didn't even mention this with Chris. Man, Trista, our Dubs. What's the future of Bob Myers and what's the future of that position in Golden State?
It's so hard to say goodbye to yesterday. Yeah, I think Bob Myers could see him easily leaving basketball for a huge bag. I posted this on your Twitter. The thing that I kept hearing was that he has opportunities outside of basketball to take his lens on business and building things to another realm. And you know how venture capital is, private equity is. They give you, you know, double what you get as a GM. We know Daryl Morey makes somewhere in the 10 range. They were willing to make Bob Myers, I heard, like the highest paid or one of the highest paid GMs.
I heard just to
allow.
I heard he asked for 20.
Yeah, I mean, because that's what I heard that the VC is offering him.
Jeez,
so I heard $20 million from the VC. And
that's
he's probably
per
like,
year, by the way, for those who are wondering. That's per year.
Per year. Yeah, per year. And if you're Bob Myers, you're like, listen, I've been babysitting a lot, like lately. So I'm going to need at least 20 in order to turn down this. I don't know if it's tech. I don't know what business it's in, but he's got a lot of opportunities. I was kind of joking about that on the podcast last night when I recorded. It's like he also could go into media. He has a podcast. Everybody's got a podcast now. Maybe he'd be free to be very open about the industry if he's in completely somewhere else and has the side podcast. Maybe you could probably squeeze out $3 to $5 million a year just from that.
Yeah.
I can think of a four-letter network that'd be happy to pay you for it.
You know, this guy got options.
Yeah.
That's what it comes down to. This guy got options.
Ops on ops.
But you said something that was interesting, Trista, because, you know, putting together this roster and doing all that, it was big time. You did a great job with it. But it's almost, I don't want to say on cruise control, but they got everybody. But you talked about how he's been doing a lot of babysitting lately. And I think ultimately that's probably the thing that he just was like, I don't want to do this anymore. It's not building the roster because Steph is locked in. You know, for better or for worse, Clay, Draymond are locked in. Jordan Poole's locked in. Wiggins, they're like the roster, regardless if there are some holes, it's at the very least a playoff roster and a roster that could contend, you know, if health is there and everything else like that. But the whole babysitting aspect of it, I think that is Trista comes back into the
picture. Are you okay, bro?
It's fun because I've got the weight distributions all off because there's this little mic like that's hooked in so that I can have clean audio for you guys.
Yeah.
And it was a weird like balance, so it just flipped.
Oh, okay. It happens.
You
sound incredible though, so that's
I put the mic, it's like one of those little road mics with the muffle.
Yep.
Nah, that's perfect.
I think that's gonna be really good.
But no, to your point, I was just saying, I think the babysitting aspect of it is something that's probably worn down Bob Myers from this whole situation. I think he might take a year off. I don't think he's gonna run right into anything.
Yeah, and think about the places that you can go where they're going to be able to offer you a lot of money, but also that you're not going to be babysitting either, right? The rumor has always been the Clippers, right? Mm-hmm. Because of his relationship with Jerry West, because Steve Ballmer is another owner that loves to spend. But that's a roster that's somewhat locked in right now as well. You've got Kawhi for another couple. You got Paul George for a couple. You don't have very many draft picks because you traded them all away to get Paul George along with, you know, trading away Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. So his ability to make changes and be a real GM again, there's only so many things that you can do on that team. So what team, if he was to go back to basketball, can he really mold and shape in a way that's real? Like, is the one gig that I think would be interesting and would showcase a lot of his ability is if Masai ended up getting jettisoned or moving on somewhere else and he was to take over a place like Toronto. Mm. Because the way that they've managed that team has just clearly not worked. And the one championship that they got because they traded for Kawhi, I think Masai's sort of been running off of that. Like, that accolade is now, I think, run its course. The first shoe, which was Nick Nurse, got let go so that they can move forward. And maybe they say, well, maybe it's not a roster thing. Maybe it's a coaching thing. If they keep running out these 6'7" to 6'9" guys that can't shoot, that all do something similar with no center and no point guard, I promise you, it's only a matter of time before Masai Ujiri gets asked out of the door as well.
Okay.
What do you guys think about that?
I mean, I hear you. I feel like he's done a good job. Now, There's a lot of repetitiveness to that roster for sure, but I look at that on the flip side. RIP the flip side. I look at that on the flip side as he has a lot of pieces that he can move to balance out that roster. So you can probably move two of them. You can move OG and Precious if need be, or OG and Van Fleet, and get the shooting guards you need.
Van Fleet's a free agent.
Well, he got a player. I'm just saying, if he opts back in, then he's on your books.
I don't think that's gonna happen. What would happen though if that's the roster he wants? Like, what would happen if 6, 7, and 9 guys that are all switchable, long, athletic? What if that's the mentality he wants to continue with?
Mm-hmm. Then you got to find a coach to make it work. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's Jordy Fernandez. It's somebody else.
It's also not the worst idea in the world.
It's not.
Like, that roster that they have, I think they got one too many threes.
Clearly, they felt like Nick Nurse was a problem, though. Yeah. Because that was, you know, that was, it wasn't like, hey, we really like Nick Nurse, let's work on this roster. It was like, nah, let's move on from Nick Nurse. And I think Nick got the fire treatment in the tweet. I think
From what I heard, Nick also wanted to go.
Mm. Well, that sounds right. Like wasn't he tied to a job?
He was tied to Phoenix, I think.
And the Lakers, like last summer.
Was it Houston? One of
no, it was Houston. Houston. That's what it was. He was. Thank you. He was tied. He was tied.
And this was like in March.
It was like the Luke Walton Los Angeles Laker to Sacramento thing. Like, wait, he has a job. Oh, he's tied to Houston.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, Ime Udoka is the head coach of Houston, and Nick Nurse now. I don't even know that we talked to Nick Nurse now, the coach of the Philadelphia 76ers.
And guys, you know what the real killer is? I think for Masai and this Raptors team is Pascal has not taken the leap they thought he would. Mm. It's not that he's not a bad player. It's not even that he's not an all-star. Like, I think he's an all-star caliber player. But I think they looked at him as when Kawhi left, he was going to end up being a franchise type guy. And he's not a franchise guy. And they were going to build around him.
Scotty Barnes, and I love Scotty Barnes, rookie of the year, get incredible value from him. You have Scotty Barnes, who just quite simply is not a traditional point guard, and he's not a shooter. And then you have Fred VanVleet, who kind of does the Trista Crick, which is like, I've always had, because I'm so little, I've always had a problem with thumbing the ball. So he's got, but like, it's Trista like the side Crick. Spin on the ball, is he's not a pure shooter either. He's a streaky shooter, because when it's going in pure, it's wet, but when it hits the rim at all, it's going to spin out. Mm. Like, he literally has side spin on every single jumper he puts off. Hmm. Maybe it doesn't come across on TV, but you see it in person. So they don't have Pascal is not a pure shooter. OG Anunoby is a 40% 3-point spot up catch and shoot shooter, but you're not always getting those. Mm-hmm. And he's like a very streaky shooter. Like, who's the shooter? Gary Trent is a shooter, but he's 6'3 and doesn't play a lot of defense. The roster, in my opinion, has many holes.
What do you think about Nick Nurse in Philadelphia? And the report that he was actually choosing, he was offered the Philadelphia job and the Phoenix job.
I think that's fascinating. One, the question that I have, that it was not my first initial impression, because I don't know if you saw what my first initial impression was on Instagram, but it was like, wow. Like,
yeah,
whoa.
I saw that.
Yeah. I saw
that. That's
loud. Whoa. It was a loud first impression.
It really was the first thing I saw it. I recorded that maybe 30 seconds after I saw the tweet. So it was still very raw. But, like, that's really, it really is a massive wow. They really did that. Mm. And that, to me, tells the picture is Daryl Morey either knows James Harden was going to go no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
Or he's finessed James into accepting this as a temporary solution for James, because we can offer you the most of anyone. Maybe you get traded down the road, maybe you don't. But, like, strictly fit, the fit for Nick is incredible. Mm. These guys have never been coached hard, ever. James Harden's never been coached hard. Embiid's never been coached hard. Tobias never. Well, I guess a little bit with Ty Lue, but he's like a hybrid. They've never had accountability. Mm. There's never been a leader on this team. So that makes a bit of sense that they need, the Daryl Morey's like, I think they do need a stronger presence. But the whole reason that Doc Rivers got fired to begin with was, according to Ramona Shelburne, because he was trying to tell James, you can't go off to Vegas and party during the playoffs. You can't leave on an off day and go down to Houston. And was trying to instill accountability, and that was what got him guillotined. And Nick Nurse is the kind of guy who doesn't just pull a Doc Rivers and throw you under the bus after the postseason ends. He does it on a random Tuesday in January. Mm-hmm. He'll do it all day, every day. Mm-hmm. Do you think Embiid is built for that level of criticism from his coach? How is he going to take that? These guys are injury prone and their bodies break down. How are they going to adapt to shorter rotations and high usage and minutes like Nick Nurse has done for the Toronto Raptors for many years? He had guys he could play, but he had a 6-7-man rotation that he used in January.
James is a problem.
Yeah.
Like
which is why Houston welcoming him back with open arms and allegedly an open pocketbook is insane.
Will they though? Like, will they? Don't you feel kind of like Ime Udoka just said that? Just to get the job?
For his sake, I hope so.
And then was like, we'll see once it, like, we don't know if he really wants Houston yet. I would be amenable to discussing the possibility of James coming into the locker room again, because he's such a legend in Houston and he's an OG and he can mentor Jalen Green. But in the back of Ime Udoka's head, do you think he believes he's a smart guy? Do you think he believes that what he says to James Harden's going to get through?
I think Ime Udoka was like, let me get back in the league here right quick.
Yeah.
He had options, though. He didn't. He could have gone to Toronto. He said no.
So
I don't think I knew that.
Yeah.
He said no. He said that the Toronto situation was not as favorable as the Houston situation, so he said no.
I guess I get that.
There's no real pressure in Houston, and you, if those guys hit the way you know they could, like you could be on
the pressure
a
is to
line.
Develop.
Right, right. But
Houston says they want to win now. Like Houston's saying that they Houston
can shut the hell up.
Yeah, Houston needs to settle down. Calm down for Tita.
Because they've got $60 million in cap space, so they're going to go after pretty much everyone.
There aren't even free agents this free agent period. There ain't even impact
free
agents.
They're going to go get Fred Van Vliet and James Harden. Like, good for you guys.
Care, hold on to that money and roll it over. But I wanted to ask you something.
I don't think that's how it works.
Well, you got a floor you got
to
reach.
They're going to try to go after Middleton.
Okay.
The guy might not be able to play basketball in a year and a half.
I hope Chris Middleton can be healthy, but that's a tough.
It's not it. It's not it.
He going to get an NFL contract then.
Not it.
He going to get one of those. He going to get one of them Jimmy Garoppolo contracts where they just go, never mind. Never mind.
A waiver. Have a waiver on this contract.
Crazy. It's like his contract's going to be like the cafe with the punch cards. And it's like every 15 games will give you more guaranteed money.
Every 10 games you play, you get more.
It's not funny at all. This is terrible.
I wanted to ask about that Nick Nurse situation, though, because you mentioned Masai Ujiri and say how he may be kind of living off of what he did with the Kawhi year. Are we sure Nick Nurse isn't doing the same thing?
Absolutely. As we are with Daryl Morey. I don't know how many.
Well, Daryl Morey has done nothing.
Daryl Morey's not good. We know that.
Done nothing. I mean, he's gone somewhat deep into the Western Conference, and you could say, oh, well, he and, you know, Harden, and he turned Harden. You got Mike D'Antoni turned Harden into an MVP. They got Chris Paul. They were one Chris Paul hamstring away from maybe beating the Warriors. So there's a lot of hypotheticals there that he's living off of. A lot of hypotheticals. But yes, I do believe that the chickens are coming home to roost for everyone. That's why Bud got fired. That's why Monty got fired. That's why Nick Nurse was let go. That's why, you know, there was a lot of change, is because the truth is we know that there's only that, like, very small amount of people who can really take a fringe contender and make them a real championship team. And I think teams are starting to see, like, we got to be choosy with that, and we're willing to let guys go if they're not, if they've reached their ceiling, we've got to move on.
What do you think happens in Boston now that their season's over?
I think the smart thing is to at least explore what it would look like to move on from Jaylen Brown. I don't know that that's what you should do, but at least explore it. I do think there's a real chance, because they need a point guard. They do. I do think that there's a real chance that, say, a Scoot Henderson and an Anfernee Simons makes this Boston team eventually better than a team that's paying Jaylen Brown $60 million a year. Anfernee's making 25. Scoot will make whatever the third pick scale is. You maybe see if you can send Jaylen to Portland. But, you know, obviously that matters to Jaylen, too, whether he's going to want to do that supermax and stay there or be traded in a year from then. So I think that's worth at least consideration.
Can they
considering the tax situation that they're going to be in with the new CBA? And I don't know what they do with Mazzulla. Game 7 was a bad look.
Mazzulla, he's fine. He should be back. I think Mazzulla's fine.
His speech was a little rough.
Yeah, that was like, I was like, settle down a little, Mazzulla.
Just smile. Just smile. That's the most important part.
Settle down just a little bit. But maybe you guys can answer this question. Can they do a super max sign and trade with Jaylen?
No. Mm. You cannot.
So he'd be walking away from 30 or 40 million.
He cannot get moved for a year.
No, it's more. I think it's more than that. The Supermax, I think he's walking away from close to 100 million, isn't he?
Yeah, it's 4 years and 109, is it 94?
Mm-hmm.
And then it's 5 years. I know it's $60 million a year for Jalen under the Supermax, $59.4 million a year, spread over 5 years each year. Like average. It's a massive difference. It's I think it's about $100 million, you're right.
And they got a, if I'm Boston, so you talk about Anthony Simons in school. If I'm Boston, I'm trying to get Dame. Like, that's the move.
It's not happening.
Not happening. Why?
Because Dame's coming to Sacramento.
Portland's not going to make that move. I just know them.
So Portland, I said a couple weeks ago, Portland needs to do either or. Move the 3 pick and bring somebody in for Dame, or move Dame. You think they're in on moving the 3 and keeping Dame?
95% confident that that's what they're in on.
Wow.
And maybe that's not best for the franchise long term. I can't say. But I do think, truly, that there are more movement and negotiation opportunities for Mikal Bridges than initially believed 6 months ago. And if you can get Damian Lillard's favorite small forward on planet Earth, Damian Lillard will be happy. I think you can surround. I think that's a really good core with Shaden, Kim, Mikal. You would re-sign Jeremy Grant, and then you would try to find yourself a center that works, right? Like, Nurk has to go. That's just not working. But, like, maybe
talk about tough contracts to move. What the hell do you merge that Nurk contract?
He's not making that much.
For what he is?
I think he makes $20 million. There's going to be somebody that you could package him for that might want him. I wouldn't be shocked if they put a first, the 23rd pick with Nurk to match. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You obviously would have to. He's a negative asset. But maybe you try to finesse someone as well that needs somebody like Nurk or thinks that they do. Anyway, I do think Mikal Bridges is it's a possibility without trading Shaden. I think you could trade the 3, Anthony Simons, maybe say somebody like Trendon Watford or Nasir Little, one of these other young guys that are, you know, can do versatile things and match the contract amount. And I think that would keep Dame very happy, but I also think that would be good for the team. Mm-hmm. Now, I love the Thompson twins, personally. I do. I like Scoot. I really like the Thompson twins a lot, but Dame's not going for that. He's already said, I'm not in for. If we're keeping this pick, I don't know what we're doing.
If I'm Boston, I'm not trading Jalen for rookies. I'm trading him for somebody that can win me, help Tatum win a title now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Tatum's entering that
you're
era
blowing
in his career.
Everything up, yeah.
But here's the thing, though. Win. Here's the problem, I think, with Boston is that they just don't have enough 3-point shooters. And Anthony Simons can help you compete on that specifically. Now, it definitely impacts your defense in a negative way. But he on the perimeter is about as close to Damian Lillard, CJ McCollum as a hybrid as you're going to get. Like, his shooting motion's similar. His percentages are similar. I think Dame obviously is just on a tier just slightly, you know, below Steph on his own. But Anthony can shoot, and that would help them. And he can play point guard. That would help them a lot.
Mm-hmm.
That would help them a lot. And he's what, 4 or 5 years in the league right now. So he's not like a rookie. And you say, okay, well, we're going to try to get another wing. Maybe you try to get a wing that will develop over time. And so you increase the length of the window with getting a guard. You're trading in a wing for a guard, which is rough, but you're also getting shooting, elite shooting.
The thing you said about Dame a minute ago, about him, you know, the remark he made about, like, if we're drafting this pick, what are we doing? He said that before they moved up to 3. Do you think anything changed the fact that for him, now that they've landed in one of those coveted spots, and it's not so much. You're obviously you're getting a young player. You're not just getting a player in the draft. You're getting one of. And I think it's fair to say there are three truly coveted players in this draft. You're getting one of them.
I think that's true. I don't know that Dame will buy into those all three being tier one talents. I believe there's only one tier one talent in this draft.
Well, no, I think there's Victor, and then there's two tier one talents. Like, I think that's what it is. There's Victor by himself, and then there's Scoot and Brandon Miller.
Yeah, it will take a long time for that player to be an all-NBA type caliber talent. Yeah. Shaedon Sharpe came along, and I think you kind of bet it on the upside. I don't know. I think it was going to be Victor or nothing. I could be totally wrong. Maybe one of these kids blows them away in a team workout. Like and he's like, okay, I'm comfortable with that, but we need to do some other things too. But if you can go after Mikhail, this is probably the only opportunity you're going to have that good of a pick in a transcendent draft. And I would much prefer, let me ask you this, would you prefer Mikhail Bridges to Brandon Miller?
Yes, right now? I would.
Yeah.
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 And I would be comfortable saying that Mikhail Bridges is going to, I'm comfortable saying I'm 60% or maybe slightly more confident that Mikhail Bridges will be a better player overall. Over and above Brandon Miller.
I think Mikhail Bridges is going to be a star.
So do I. So I don't think Brandon Miller will be the caliber of player that Mikhail is ever. He's just his body doesn't – I don't like his body. I don't like his mentality. Maybe he's a great catch-and-shoot shooter. But I don't like his upside nearly as much.
Hmm. All right. Let's let TK go to work over at BetQL. Make sure you check out the Heat Check podcast. New episode just dropped. Didn't even talk about the NBA Finals. You can get Trista's thoughts on the
NBA
Finals.
Oh, there we go. Disrespecting the Nuggets.
Disrespect and the Heat. My goodness. Simultaneous disrespect. Thankfully, we've got plenty more time to talk about this. Trista Crick, BetMGM Tonight, Heat Check Podcast. We'll come back. It's Dilo McCasey brought to you by Sky River Casino here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320.
KC continues streaming live on the Odyssey app.
I'm with Ramsey. Put some respect on Jerry West.
Ain't nobody disrespecting Jerry West.
Sounds like disrespect.
Oh, Tyler Jennings asked if we saw the graphic about Pat Riley being in like 25% of the NBA Finals in history, and who did you say? Is Pat Riley the guy?
Jesse said
is Pat Riley the guy?
And then you guys were like, yeah, he absolutely is. And I was like,
no,
wait a minute.
No,
what about Jerry West?
Lying.
You're like, the
Why
hell with
lying?
Jerry West?
This man just, you've been gone a week and you still show up. The Lord ain't changed your mind about lying, huh? Man, that is not at all what happened. But, you know, a lot is brought up about Mr. Clutch and Mr. Clutch lost like 8 NBA Finals.
Yeah, y'all talking about his playing days. What did Pat Riley ever win as a player?
I don't think he won. He won in 1972, exactly like I said he did. He won in 1972.
No, I think they won 73. What team was he on?
He was either on the Lakers or the Knicks. I always thought he was on the Knicks.
He was on the Knicks team?
No, okay. He was on the...
I didn't think he was on the Knicks team.
He was on the Lakers team.
Okay.
He was on the Lakers team that year. Okay. So he won as a player in 1972.
Riding Wilt's coattails. Isn't that Jerry West's championship?
Oh, for God's sakes. Maybe it is. It's the one title Jerry West won. Pat Riley won it for him. You're going to make me hate Jerry West.
That's crazy.
Pat Riley was on the same team that Jerry West was when he won his NBA championship. The one NBA championship that Mr. Clutch won. Then he won as an assistant coach in 1980.
Jerry put that one together.
That's two. Then he won.
They got the same titles, damn near.
Then he won.
The same title.
In 82, 85, 87, and 88. And then he won in 2006. Those are five as a head coach.
They both got 9 total titles as players, executives, and coaches. They both got 9.
That's amazing.
They got almost
that
the same
is amazing.
One. Pat has 2 with the Heat, and Jerry has 3 more.
Three
the
with the Heat, right? 2006, two with the
Heat. Yeah, right. He's got three with the Heat, and then Jerry got the three when Pat was gone, the Kobe and Shaq three. That's where they differ. Other than that, they have the same titles.
That is wild.
And then Jerry's got the three with Kobe and Shaq.
They won the same championship ring.
Jerry and Pat got to play one-on-one right now to decide this.
That is crazy. That is crazy.
That is hilarious.
Wow.
Well, then I guess they're one and two then, right?
I guess so. Pat's that dude, though. Don't get it twisted what I was trying to say. Pat Riley is the godfather.
He's the godfather of the NBA.
He's that dude.
Pat Riley, Eric Spoelstra, and Udonis Haslem have been a part of every Miami Heat trip to the finals.
Haslem, do you see what?
Poor Stan Van Gundy. Stan Van Gundy to go home and spend time with his family so Pat Riley could coach that team.
Pat got that chip. And then when it came back around, Pat was like, don't ask me to fire Eric Spoelstra. I ain't doing nothing. Yeah, they didn't do that for Stan Van.
That's why LeBron said it. Hey, don't you get this? Nope. Eric Spoelstra is the coach of this team. Poor Stan Van. Could have been Spo before Spo.
I know. He's not Spo, though.
He's not Spo.
And you said it about a month ago. Spoelstra, best coach in the NBA. And, man. He's looking like it. He is. I ain't even going to say looking like it. He is. Two things.
Mm-hmm. While you're sleeping.
No. Well, I do have it while you're sleeping, but that could wait till when we come back. But I don't think we talked about it. Did you see? I think it was game three when the crowd was chanting for Haslem.
Mm-hmm. And he didn't move. Like, he was like, you think I'm taking this warm-up off? He probably had his suit on underneath it. He probably had what he showed up in the arena under his warm-up. He's like, I'm not playing.
He only had
he didn't smile song. He didn't like even entertain the crowd. He was just like, these idiots.
He only had the warm-up song. That was hilarious. And then just like that, I forgot my other point. But I love Pat Riley, though. I do love Pat Riley. That is crazy that 25% of the finals have involved Pat Riley.
Yeah, that's amazing.
If Spo gets a ring here, is he like one of the five, six best coaches to ever do it?
Man, if Eric Spoelstra gets a ring here,
he's got to be that.
That's something. Yeah. That's something.
Absolutely.
I mean, that would be – I mean, it's three for – he was on the 2006 staff. Mm-hmm. But it'd be three for him as a head coach. This one, no LeBron, no Dwayne Wade. Man,
did you ever think they were losing that series before game six?
Yeah, I did. It'd be high. So when the Celtics won game four, one of the things that day was like, I know it's never happened, but like, I just can't write Boston off.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, and the first one felt like the most insignificant because it's like, that's going to happen. Like, you weren't going to sweep the Celtics. It's fine.
It felt to that point, though, I'm not going to say I thought they were going to win. I know for me personally, when they won that first one, it felt like, in my mind, energy switched.
I agree.
It felt like a long road, but it was like, uh-oh, they got that one. You know they're getting five, mm-hmm. and it's going to come down to six.
Yeah, and so that's where, like, so energy shifted, but in game five is where I feel like the pressure shifted.
Mm.
And then you head into that game six, obviously, I mean, the ending will be talked about, or I don't know. I don't know that it will be, but you can have a discussion about the ending.
It really,
I mean, like Al Horford, like, what the hell are you doing?
Oh, my gosh.
The Al Horford play, and then Jimmy Butler, it just ice cold from the free throw line. And then the incredible, the incredible finish. At no point yesterday, before the game started, did I think Miami was winning.
I agree.
When the Celtics got up double figures, I was like, this thing's going south.
Bro, game six was crazy in the fourth quarter. Jesse, I hate to bring it up, but what were they up 10 with
Three minutes to go?
It was literally a replay of Game 7 last year when Boston was up about 10 going into about 3 minutes left into the fourth, and the Heat went on this crazy run where they had a chance to tie, win it at the end.
I think the stat was Derek White's tip-in was their one field goal in the final like 4.5 minutes of that game.
Sounds right.
They do have a problem with blowing leads in the fourth quarter. That's crazy. Big problem.
Yeah. And I think that's where Kenny's point about them needing a point guard comes into play. Because you, Tatum, I'm fine running the offense with a few minutes to go. Tatum, do what you do. Jaylen Brown cannot run the offense anymore with a few minutes left. He absolutely cannot. That killed him yesterday. Yesterday he was trying to take over, and in my mind, I'm like, get the ball to Derek White. Get the ball to Marcus Smart. Let them run the offense.
Do you think they, Jesse, you think they move on from Jaylen Brown?
No, I don't think so. I was talking to Dame about it during the break. I think right now I'm at the point where run it back. I think Jaylen's going to get his extension. Yeah, he's going to get his extension. I don't think he gets traded. I think when you look at the East, Milwaukee's got questions. They need to retool a bit. They'll be up there. Philly, I'm not giving Philly any respect right now. Cleveland.
No need to.
Yeah, Cleveland's got a lot of answers, questions to answer after that first round of the Knicks. They're still missing that star. So I think right now you got to run him back unless a Dame trade comes up or something like that.
And Trista said it's probably not going to happen. I would move him for Dame. Like if Portland called tomorrow. Yeah, we're making that move.
You're not
I would not move him for the three, though. I wouldn't move him for the three.
I wouldn't either.
That deal to me is like Brogdon and Brown for Dame and like Nurkic or something like that.
Yeah, you take Nurkic's contract.
Yeah, you get your big or whatever. Move Horford to the third big spot.
That's a lot of money.
It is. So it's a lot of money to keep Jalen Brown, too.
That's that. Yeah, that well, that's true. But here's the thing. Like, but yeah, no matter what decision you make, you better be sure you're like, this is an NBA championship team.
And that's why I wouldn't do the three pick, because I need.
Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. We'll come back. This Jimmy Garoppolo story is bizarre. We'll touch on that.
I had a mini epiphany.
Oh my God. Epiphanies.
A mini one.
Epiphanies while you were sleeping. Jason Jones. This is all coming up here. As D'Lo and Casey, brought to you by Sky River Casino, returns here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
D'Lo and KC continues, streaming live on the Odyssey app.
Dame, you ready?
I'm ready.
You ready for this, baby? So Vince Crawford, baby, July 29th. We're doing the show live from Vegas, baby. We're going out there, man. I'm going to talk to Leonard Ellerbe. I'm going to talk to Al Haymon. We're going to be posted up all week at the MGM Grand.
Oh, all week?
Yeah. That's how they do it. That's old school radio. All week for Vince Crawford. That's going to be 2 weeks after we are there for Summer League. And 1 week before you're there for Beyonce.
We can't even get the people on the opposite side of this building to get us to Summer League. Like, we literally got to come out of our own pocket for everything. just a quick question before we get to the latest edition of While You Were Sleeping and we get to Buddha on the phone lines as well. So this is now the biggest fight in history, not the fight like a month ago? that y'all said was the biggest?
So let me break it down. Jesse just talked about it.
Okay.
No disrespect. I'm not being disrespectful. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying what it is.
You usually say something disrespectful after you do that.
For the casuals like yourself.
That's a stretch. But
Tank
yeah.
Ryan is a bigger fight.
Okay.
Like, I'm a casual UFC watcher, right? So it's okay. It's okay to be a casual. I'm a casual NHL watcher. It's okay. For the boxing fans, this is the fight. This is the one. This is the one everybody's been talking about for like 3-4 years. Like I talked about earlier on the podcast. You go to the barbershop. You at the 24-hour fitness, you know, in the gym, you know, waiting to get on the court. Everybody for the last 3-4 years has been talking, who's better? Spence Crawford. Who would win? This is the fight we've been waiting for.
Why is it taking so long?
Because Bud Crawford inexplicably has not wanted to fight Errol Spence for whatever reason. He came to his senses, and it doesn't matter how we got here. It's the fact that we're here now, and that's all I'm going to
look for. They're still two prime fighters? This isn't like the Pacquiao-Mayweather nonsense?
No, it's not that. I mean, these are still the two of the top four fighters in the world. They would have been more in their prime if this was 2 years ago.
Okay.
But they're still two of the best fighters in the world. I think, oddly enough, they're sneaky older than we all realize. I think they're like 35 and 36. This would have been better if they were both like 33, but they're still great nonetheless.
916-909-1320. Let's get to our man, Buddha. Buddha, what's happening, baby?
What's up, family? How y'all doing today?
We good, Buddha. What's up, baby?
Hey, ain't too much going on. I got King's question for y'all. Would you rather edition? Who, like, out of Naz Reid and Christian Wood, who would you rather be your King's stretch for?
Yeah, that's easy.
Ooh, easy like that.
easy like work. That. Yeah. Naz Reid. I like Christian Wood. I do like Christian Wood, but I think Naz Reid is a better
kinda
player.
I feel like the bloom is off the rose with that one.
Yeah, like. I mean, it's been too many situations now where it's like, no, you're the common denominator every time something happens. Yeah. So I think he's a talented guy. But Naz Reid, I think, is just as good of an offensive player and a better defensive player. So I would take Naz Reid.
Before we get to this Jimmy Garoppolo story, was it another
– It's a mini.
Anything else you want to get off your chest?
Yeah, there is a while I was sleeping. I know we talked before I left. We said, do we call next year's Kings the Beam Team still? And we were like, well, I think you said, there was no consensus. I think you were like,
no,
this was the
think
Big
so.
Team.
Yeah, this
was
the
Beam Team.
Yeah.
Well, why can't this team be Beam Team 2?
I don't know. Like, does anyone like Dream Team 2 with Glenn Rice and like,
was it Glenn Rice? It was Joe Dumars was on there.
Like, I mean, there's the I think Shaq was on it. Like, there was nothing wrong with the team, but it's not revered like the Dream Team is.
No, I think we number these Beam Teams.
Can't this core just be Beam Team until it's just not a core anymore?
No, the Beam
could
Team
be the case.
No, I think the Beam. It was like it was the birth of the Beam. Like, no, I think it was just this one.
Like, if the Beam is still around next to, like, that's still Beam Team then.
Beam,
it's
Beam
the
Team
core.
Too.
It's no, not Beam Team 2. Like, this core, like the Fox, Sabonis, Malik, Herder. Like, as long as these guys are around for however many years, I think this is, like, that's Beam Team.
I don't think you go away from it, though.
No, you don't.
Like, it's either Beam Team or it's Beam Team 2 or 3 years from now, Beam Team 5.
What other team had a name?
What do you mean?
Can you think of another team, like a...
Well, for like Celtics fans, it's like when they had IT Crowder for those few years, it was like the punk rock Celtics. It's a terrible name, but that's what they called them. I didn't call them that. I'm just saying. You wanted an example. I didn't call them that.
What I say?
You know what, bro? I'm sorry I asked.
I'm telling you. Yeah, I firmly said I didn't call them that. People call them that. Celtics fans.
What about? And I hated this one. God, I hated this one. The Hamptons Five.
So, yeah, that was a lineup, right? The Hamptons Five was a lineup.
The Baby Bulls, that's what Wilbon would call
them. So, I get maybe there's one. The Bad Boys.
Bad Boys, yeah, they were.
So that was multiple years.
Yeah, bad boy.
Oh, I guess. I guess if you keep the as long as it's Domas and De'Aaron. Mm. I mean, but like, who do we like? Malik is a part of it, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, I think they were still the bad boys. Didn't John Sally get traded in between that whole thing, or something happened?
In between the titles?
Not in between the titles. Somebody got traded. Oh, Rick Mahorn. Rick Mahorn was left exposed.
Uh-oh.
In the expansion draft.
Mm. Okay.
And he was like one of the baddest boys.
Yeah.
But they were still the bad boys, even though he was gone.
Yeah. I guess.
Run TMC, that's another good one. But that was specific to once Mitch was gone, there was no more Run TMC.
Three people, yeah. I guess it's fine.
We have
the Beam's going to be around. Those guys are going to be around. I guess you could call
it
the
Beam. We have solidified it. The Beam team stays. You guys are saying the Re-Beam team, so the Redeem team. But I think that would be the Kings would have to do like the Allen Iverson Team USA team, the Paul Pierce team, and we lost a couple of times.
We don't need that.
And then when they came back, that was the Redeem team.
So this was one that I was thinking of that Dave Garcia points out, and that's Heatles. The Heatles. But I feel like the Heatles was the first year, and that was it. I don't feel like it was the Heatles again.
I think
it was like
right,
the phenomenon of the first year. Sorry to everyone who thought we were going to go 82-0, and then like that was it. It was gone.
I think you're correct. But I think history looks at all those Heat teams as the Heatles. Like, to your point, I don't think we called them the Heatles the second year.
Right.
But I think history looks at that whole thing as the Heatles.
That Dwayne Wade, LeBron, Chris Bosh matchup as the Heatles.
Lob City, that's a good one.
Oh, that is a good one. Okay. All right. You win.
The Beam team stays. We did it. We did it, Joe.
Well. All right.
Beam Team.
These are jokes that James would never make.
I was going to say, Beam Team is like one of the stronger nicknames, I think, in NBA history.
No, that's a good one. Beam Team is good. I thought Lob City was good. I thought the Heatles was silly, but the context to it was important.
The Heatles.
The context was important, I guess. Sorry to everyone who thought we were going to go 82-0. Them dudes lost the first and last game of the season.
I think that I think they started off like 8-9.
Yeah, they did. And then I think that's when don't you have the itch to come back
that's
and
when
coach?
He, shoulder check Spo.
LeBron was trying to LeBron. See, I love LeBron. LeBron was trying to get rid of Spo.
Oh, he for sure was.
And Pat was like, no, dude.
Absolutely he was trying to get rid of
this
Spo.
This isn't Cleveland.
What did you while you were sleeping? What did you think of, because I think I was gone at this point. I think this was around the time when I wasn't able to listen. What did you think of everybody talking about LeBron hijacked the Nuggets? And
it was dumb. Like, it was the whole conversation was dumb. Like, you pick what you want to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to talk about LeBron James. You chose to. Like People were so upset about that. What I said to Chris, that was dead on what happened. And we talked about it the next day. Like, I did not hear it that way. I heard it as a 38. You know what LeBron struck me as? And this was legitimately the first time on that podium that day, was old. He was fed up. He said to himself what I say to myself on most Wednesdays. I don't know how much longer I can do this. I'm tired. I'm tired of this. That's all I took it as. And thankfully, Chris Haynes is significantly better at his job than me. Yeah. He was like, whoa, hey, Bron, what was that?
I need to talk to you.
Yeah, what was that? And so, like, people made the decision what they wanted to talk about the next day.
Yeah.
No problem with it.
And we already talked about this earlier, but still, with
people
all due
love
respect
to hate
to the
LeBron,
Nuggets,
and it's bizarre.
It's LeBron James. For the first time ever, hinting at retirement.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. We need to talk about that.
LeBron has been so untarnished that people are begging for a reason to hate him.
Mm.
And whether it's flopping or saying that he doesn't flop or stealing the headlines from the Nuggets, or my favorite was he's trying to divert everyone's attention from the fact he got swept. Bruh, My brother has been swept in the NBA Finals. I think like three times.
Yeah.
The Warriors swept them twice? Well,
the Warriors swept them once.
Once?
Yeah.
The Spurs swept them.
Spurs swept them and then.
So he's been swept
twice.
He's
been swept in his career three times.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
point being, he's been swept in the finals.
That irritated me as much as Air not showing Michael Jordan.
Well, that was smart. That was a smart decision by Ben Affleck.
That was actually distracting.
It wasn't.
Once I figured out what was going on, it distracted me for the rest of the movie.
The Raiders are trying to distract us from something. Your boy is at it again.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.